B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos daf Kuf Chof Tes. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Kuf Chof Ches Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Chaya, a woman that's just given birth, calls man sha kever posuach, for as long as her womb is called a kever, literally translated as a grave, but all the while that her womb is open, we'll soon see how long that is, bein omro tzricho ani, irrespective of whether she says, I need you to be mechalel Shabbos for me, bein lo yomro tzricho ani, or if she doesn't say, I need you to be mechalel Shabbos for me, mechalelin olea es haShabbos, one is allowed to be mechalel Shabbos for her, as we saw in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Chof Ches. Nistama kever, after she's considered that her womb has already closed, bein omro tzricho ani, irrespective of whether she says, I need you to be mechalel Shabbos, bein loy omro tzricho ani, or if she doesn't say she needs you to be mechalel Shabbos for her, ein mechalelin olea es haShabbos, we are not mechalel Shabbos for her, she's no longer considered a choyla sheyesh bo sakana, and therefore there's no reason to be mechalel Shabbos. Rav Ashi Masni Hochi, that is the way that Rav Ashi learnt these halachas. And we'll notice that in Rav Ashi's version that we just saw, it only speaks about whether she says she needs something or she doesn't say she needs something. But if she says explicitly that I don't need you to be Mechal Shabbos, then there's no reason to be Mechal Shabbos. And after Stima Sakever, Nistama Kever, even if she says, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, we will not be Mechal Shabbos for her. In contrast to that, we now have a second opinion. Mar Zutra Masni Hocha, Mar Zutra learnt it differently. Hochi Omer Yudah Mashmul, he said in the name of Shmuel as follows, Chaya, a woman that's given birth, calls man Sha Kever Pasuach, all the while her womb is open, Bein Omro Tzricho Ani, irrespective of whether she says, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, Ubein Omro Ein Tzricho Ani, and even if she says explicitly, I do not need you to be Mechal Shabbos for me, Mechal Lin Oleh Osa Shabbos, we are Mechal Shabbos for her, even if she says, I do not need you to be Mechal Shabbos. Nista Makever, after the womb is closed, Omro Tzricho Ani, if she says, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, in contrast to Rav Ashi, Mar Zutra says, Mechal Lin Oleh Osa Shabbos, we are Mechal Shabbos for her. Loi Omro Tzricho Ani, if she doesn't say I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, and it goes without saying, if she says I don't need you to be Mechal Shabbos for me, Ein Mechalelin Olea Osa Shabbos, then everybody agrees we are not Mechal Shabbos for her. Omale Ravina Le Mareima, Ravina said to Mareima, Mar Zutra Masni Le Kula. Mar Zutra, we just learned, has two kulos, two leniencies over Rav Ashi. If she says Loi Tzricho Ani, I don't need you to be Mechal Shabbos, in the period of time that her womb is still open, where Rav Ashi says, you're not Mechal Shabbos, Mar Zutra says, you are. If she says, Tzricho Ani, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, after the womb is already closed, according to Rav Ashi, we will not be Mechal Shabbos, according to Mar Zutra, we will be Mechal Shabbos. So now Ravina says to Mareimer, Mar Zutra Masni Lekula, Rav Ashi Masni Lechumra, Hilcha Sekeman, who do we follow, who's the Halacha? Omar Lei, Mareima responded to Ravina, K'mar Zutra, the halacha is like the lenient opinion like Mar Zutra. Why? Sofik nefashis lahokil, we have a rule that whenever it comes to life and death matters, to dangers, we always take the lenient side and we take the extra measures to secure that everybody should be safe. Continues the Gemara. Me'emosai psichas hakever. We discussed with the womb being open, the womb being closed. From what stage is a woman considered that her womb is open? Omar Abaya Mishal Shateishev Ala Majbar, from the time that she's sitting on the birthing stool to give birth. Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua Omar Mishal Shadam Shoises V'Yerid, from the time where some blood starts dripping from her. V'Omri Lo Mishal Shechavriseo Noises Oiso Ba'agafeo. Others say that it's from the time that she can no longer walk on her own and her friends have to carry her, have to support her, holding her arms. Says the Gemara, Admosai Psichas HaKever, until what point is the womb considered open, after which we have the halachas of the womb being closed? Omar Abaye Shloisha Yomim. Abaye says for 3 days. Rava Omar Mishmeder of Yehuda, Shiva, 7 days. V'omri lo, others say Shloishim for 30 days. Omri Naradoi, they have an opinion that takes all these three time periods into account. The first 3 days, the first 7 days, and the first 30 days. Which means that they hold that there's possibly they understand there's different levels of the womb being open, more closed. They don't tell us exactly why, but they explain that there are halachic ramifications in these three time periods after birth. Chayo, a woman who's just given birth. Gimel, 3 days. Zayin, 7 days. Vlamed, 30 days. Gimel, what's the 3 days? Bein omra tzrichani, bein omra loy tzrichani. The version we have in our Gemara seems to follow Marzutra, that irrespective of whether she says, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, or if she says explicitly, I don't need you to be Mechal Shabbos, nonetheless, we are Mechal Shabbos for her. Others have a different version here. Zayin, what's the 7 days? Omrot Tzrichani, the time of, in the period of between 3 days and 7 days, 4, 5, 6, and 7, then if she says, Omro tzrichani, if she says, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, Mechalin Oleos HaShabbos. Omro loy tzrichani, if she says, I do not need you to be Mechal Shabbos for me, then Ein Mechalin Oleos HaShabbos. Lamed, what's the 30-day period from day 8 until day 30? Afilu Omro tzrichani, even if she says, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, Ein Mechalin Oleos HaShabbos. It's considered her womb is closed, and we're not Mechal Shabbos for her. Aval, because if she's not considered a choyle, then what does it mean, v'lamed? What's the difference between from day 8 to day 30 and after day 30? It seems that there are some halachas of 30, but we're not Mechal Shabbos for her. So what is the difference? Says the Gemara, aval oisin aliday armoy. We consider her, until day 30, we consider her as being a choyle she'en bo sakana, as somebody who is sick, but not dangerously. Her life is not at risk. And therefore, we are Mechal Shabbos, but only with a goy. We tell a goy to be Mechal Shabbos in order to do what she needs, in order to heal her. Kedurav ula breder viloi, do'omar kol tzorchi choyle nasin alidei armoi b'Shabbos, somebody who's sick, even if it's a choyle she'en bo sakana, and possibly only if it's a choyle she'en bo sakana, Rashi says if it's a choyle she'esh bo sakana, we do it through a Yisrael, not through a goy, but if it's ein bo sakana, then could Rav Amnuna, Domer Rav Amnuna, Dovo She'en B'Sakon, Oymer Lenochri V'Oysa, that we tell a goy to be Mechal Shabbos in order to heal and to help somebody who's sick. Omer Rav Yudah Mashmul, L'chayo Lamed Yoim L'may Hilchasa. Rav Yudah Mashmul is questioning that since after day 7 it's considered that the womb is closed, then what ramifications do we have to the fact that it's within 30 days? So the truth is that we just saw how Naradoi could have answered it to tell us that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for her with the goy, and she's considered a Chayle She'en Bo Sakana. But for some reason, the Gemara, even though Naradoi are going to answer, Naradoi do not answer that, and the Rashba explains why not. Omri Naradoi, Naradoi explain what the ramifications are that she's between day 8 and day 30, litvila, regarding going to the mikveh. That what? She should not go to the mikveh within 30 days, because she might come out of the mikveh and catch a cold. And if she catches a cold, since she's still within 30 days after birth, her body is more vulnerable, and therefore catching a cold will be not good for her, and therefore she should not go to the mikveh before the end of 30 days. Omar Ravaloi Omron Elosh Ein Bailo Ima. Rava says that that's only true if she's going to the mikveh in order to be tohir in the times back in the day when they still kept tyrus, which means there were certain food items that were not allowed to become tomei. A woman after birth is considered tomei. She wants to go to the mikveh in order that she shouldn't be making the vegetables, the fruits, or anything else tomei. However, if she's good, that's what Rava says. Lo omron elosh ein ba'lo imo. If her husband is not with her and she's only going to the mikveh for tyrus, she should not do that within 30 days. Aval ba'lo imo. If her husband is there with her and going to the mikveh will allow her to be with her husband, then ba'lo mechamemo. Then the fact that she's close to her husband will warm her up, and the coldness of the mikveh will not have any negative ramifications on her. Kihad the brati of Rav Chisda, like the daughters of Rav Chisda, tovla begoyit los in yoimin. then she went to the mikveh of within 30 days, shalei bifnei baila, and her husband was not there at the time, v'itz tnias, and she caught a cold, v'amtuye le'arso, they carried her with her bed, basrei derova, to rova, her husband, le'pumpadisa, who was in Pumpadisa at the time, and when she was with her husband, her body warmed up, and she was okay. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yudah Mashmuel, Oisin Medura Lechaya, one's allowed to make a bonfire, a big fire, for a woman after birth, even on Shabbos. And in brackets, we have B'mois HaGeshomim, that she's allowed to do that in the winter. When it's cold, you're allowed to heat up a fire for her. Sovor Mino, they understood from Rav Yehuda Mashmuel that Lechayo in, Lechoy Leloy, you're only allowed to do this for a woman after birth, but for any other type of Chayle, you're not allowed to. B'mois HaGeshomim in, you're allowed to make a fire in the winter, B'mois HaChamoloy, but not in the summer. And in brackets, the Gemara adds, "V'loihi." That's not the case. Lo yishno chayo, v'lo yishno chayla. Irrespective of whether it's a woman after birth or whether it's anybody else that's sick. Lo yishno b'mois hageshomim, v'lo yishno b'mois hachamo. Irrespective of whether it's summer or winter, one is allowed to make a fire for her. Mide itmar, as we learned, Omer v'chia bar ovin omar Shmuel, heik is dam. If somebody lets blood, which was a custom in the olden days, they used to let blood. When it's done in, and if such a person, after he let blood, and Rashi says, not only if it's somebody who let blood, but kol shekein, even more so, anybody else that is sick, when it's done in and is feeling cold, catches a cold, oisin lo madura, one's allowed to make a fire for them, afilu b'tkufas tamuz, even in the season of tamuz, which means even in the hottest of the four seasons of the year. And the Gemara does not really tell us what type of chayla, chayla sheyesh b'yisakona, chayla she'ein b'yisakona. It doesn't tell us whether we're talking about making a fire with a Yisrael or making a fire with a goy, only letting a goy make the fire. And more than the Gemara says, we don't know. And this is a little bit of a discussion in the Mefarshim. Continues the Gemara. Shmuel, tzol chule, tachtako deshago. Shmuel let blood, and afterwards they chopped up for him a chair, tachtako, is a chair, the sha'ogo, made of sha'ogo wood, which was a very expensive type of wood. They would chop up such a chair in order to make a fire for him, in order to warm him up, because no other wood was available. Rav Yehuda, tzolchu le'psoiro de yavno. They chopped up a table, a wooden table made of yavno wood, in order to be able to make a fire to heat him up after he let blood. L'rabba tzolchu le'sharshifa. They chopped up to warm up Rabba a footstool. V'omale Abaye l'Rabba. Abaye said to Rabba, "V'ho'ko'ovar mar mishum bal tashchis." You're transgressing the avera of bal tashchis. The Torah does not want us to destroy furniture just like that. Omale, Rabba answered to Abaye, "Bal tashchis to gufoi odifli. I'd rather protect my own body, that my body should not get destroyed, rather than protect some furniture from not getting destroyed." And there's no mention here at all that this happened on Shabbos. This could have been during the week also. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yudah Marav, Le'oilom yimkir odom koiro yizbeisoy, a person should even sell the beams of his home, v'yikach min olim l'raglov, in order to have shoes to wear on his feet. And Rashi explains there's nothing more degrading for a person than having to go out into the marketplace barefoot. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, Yimkir min olim, you should sell the shoes shebaraglov that he wears on his feet, v'yaspik mehen tzorchi suda, in order to provide for himself his meal. My tzorchi suda, which meals are we talking about? Rav, and here we're talking about the suda of after letting blood, not just having a meal. It's the meal which is very important to have after letting blood. They would even sell their shoes in order to have what they need. What do they need for that meal? Rav Omar Bosor. Rav says meat. Shmuel Omar Yain. Shmuel says wine. Rav Omar Bosor. Why does Rav find it so important to have meat at the meal after letting blood, to the extent that one would even sell one's shoes that one possibly bought with money that came from selling one's home, the beams of one's home? Why was it so important to have meat? Nafsha Cholaf Nafsha. Meat comes from an animal. Animal carries life. And now that blood has been let, and so to speak, Adamu Anefesh, the blood carries the life force, and we're trying to replenish the life force within a person, eat some meat. Or Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says, Sumka cholaf sum, Shmuel Amayayin, Shmuel says that you should have wine at that meal. Sumka cholaf sumka, the blood is red, we're trying to replenish the blood that has been let, and therefore you should drink wine in order to replace the redness of the blood that has been drawn. Continues the Gemara. Simon Shenim Sar. We're going to have now five quotes regarding letting blood, and the people who said these quotes have one of these letters in their names. Shmuel, that's the Shin. Beyoyma de Ovad Milsa, on the day that he let blood, of the late Tafshila de Tochli, they would cook for him a soup, or they would cook for him some spleen. And the spleen was red. We're trying to replace red with red, which is what we just saw from Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan, and this is the nun of Yochanan, is the nun of Shenimsar. Rabbi Yochanan Shasi, he would drink wine at the Nofik Tihei Miunye, until the scent, the smell of the wine would even come out of his ears. Rav Nachman, it's the Mem, Shasi, he drank wine at the Kofi Tochle, until his spleen was floating, was flooded with wine. Rav Yosef, that's the Samach, Shasi, he will drink wine ad de nofik mirivda de kuslisa, until the hole that was punctured into his veins, or however they let blood, there was this tool that they would let blood through, and he would drink wine until the wine or the blood would flow from this tool through which they let the blood. Rava, this is the Reish, Mahadir Achamra, he would look for wine to drink at the meal, Bartlose Tarfi, which was, the literal translation is, wine from a vine that has three leaves. And Rashi says it means that 3 years have passed. Three times this vine has produced new leaves, 3 years. There's a discussion in the Mefarshim, is it 3 years since the vine was planted, that the grapes of such a vine, the wine is, that's the wine that Rava was looking for, or if it means after you picked the grapes, you waited 3 years, which means it was wine that was 3 years old, and which is a very special type of wine, and that's the wine that Rava used after he let blood. Continues the Gemara. Omar Luhur Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok L'Rabbonon. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said to the Chachomim, B'matusu minaychu, I beg of you, B'yoyim da'akoza, on the day that you let blood, Omru lebisaychu, say to your wives, Nachman, I Nachman, Ikru Gabon is coming to visit you and to be with you in the meal. And if I was with you for the meal, she would definitely prepare a very big meal, plenty of food. And therefore tell them that I'm coming. They should prepare a lot of food in order you should have everything you need for the meal after you let blood. Vekulu a'arumi asira, he also said that one is not allowed to make schemes, one's not allowed to use any type of deception. Any type of deception is osur. Bar mihai armo. Besides, for this type of deception we're going to discuss now. Deshori, which is mutar, manda ovid milsa, for somebody who let blood, voleef sharli, he does not have money, or he doesn't have wine or meat or whatever he needs in order to recover. Lishkoil zuza mako, he's allowed to take a worn-out coin. Velezel leshev chanusa, and he's allowed to go to 7 shops that sell wine. Ad the toim shiur revi'osa, until he's drunk enough wine that he's drunk a revi'os of wine, and then he'll be safe. And Rashi explains that it was common practice that when going to a shop to buy wine, then one would pay for the wine, but before taking the wine, the shopkeeper would give him a little bit to taste. How much? It seems here approximately 1/7 of a revi'os. So you can go into a shop, give him this coin, and before he notices this coin has been worn out and is not really such a valuable coin, he'll give you to taste. You'll taste a bit of wine. By that time, he'll have realized the coin is not good. He'll give you back the coin and you'll say, I'm sorry, this is all I have. And he'll say, I'm not selling you the wine. You'll go to the next shop. You'll do this 7 times till you've drunk enough. And the Mefarashim here discuss why it's not a problem of Einor, why it's not a problem of Gezel. We're clearly not allowing this person to do an Avera. So the question is, why this scheme was allowed, but there is a certain level of deceitfulness there, which is what the Gemara said was allowed just in this instance. But it's not a blatant Avera, and the Mefarshim discuss why. V'iloi, if a person does not have even a worn-out coin to be able to do this scheme with, Leichel Shev Tamra Uchmasa, he should eat 7 dates, V'leishev Mishcha, and he should rub some oil, B'tzid'i, onto his temples, which are the sides of a person's forehead, V'nigni B'shimsha, and then he should sleep in the sun, and sleeping in the sun, plus having had the dates and the oil smeared on his temples, will warm him up and keep him safe. Continues the Gemara. Avlate, which was the name of a goy, and he was an intelligent goy, possibly an astrologer. Ashkechei l'Shmuel, he met Shmuel, Degoni b'shimsha, who was sleeping exposed to the sunlight. Omar Lei, so this Avlate said to Shmuel, Chakima d'Yudoi, you are the wise of the Jewish people. Bisha mihava tova, everybody knows that the sun rays are bad. What's beneficial? What's good about it? Why are you sleeping in the sun? Omar Lei, Shmuel answered back to him, Yoimeda kozuhu, it's the day that I let blood, and therefore I need to be in the sun to warm me up. Veloihi, but the truth is that wasn't the reason. Elo ika yoima, there's one day, Demaile Bar Shimsha, that the sunlight is very beneficial. Bekule Shata, and it's the only day in the whole year that has this benefit. And it's Yoima Denofle Beit Kufas Tammuz, it's the day that the season of Tammuz, the year is split into 4 seasons, the hottest of them being Tammuz, and the day that the Tammuz season, and there are ways of working out exactly at what point each season starts, the day that the Tammuz season starts, that day the sunlight is very beneficial, and that's why he was lying in the sun. V'sovar lo igalile, and for whatever reason, Shmuel did not want to reveal this reason to the goy, and therefore he just told him, I've let blood. But it wasn't really the truth. Continues the Gemara. Heikel beruach tamo shoho. These are 3 halachas, 4 halachas that we're going to learn, that Rav and Shmuel both said unanimously. Rav and Shmuel d'omre tarvayu, they both said, kol hameikel, anyone who is lax, besudas hakozas dam, with eating his meal after letting blood, mekilin loy mezoinosov min hashamayim, then from Shamayim, when they want to give him his provisions and his needs, they'll also be lax. Voimrim, and they say, hu al chay of loy chos, if he's not concerned to protect his own life, ani ochus olov, I should be concerned and go out of my way to give him everything he needs. That was the first halacha. Rav Shmuel d'Omer Tarvayu, they both said the second hanhoga, it's not really halachas, but the second custom based regarding letting blood, Haiman d'Ovid Milza, somebody who let blood, Loilesev, he should not sit, Heicha d'Korich Ziko, where the wind circulates, Dilma Shofile Umna, maybe this, the doctor, the expert that let the blood, drained all of his blood, and left him just with a minimum amount of blood in the vital organs called, which is a revius of blood, and the wind will blow, and will withdraw from him, or will withdraw from his vital organs, the little bit of blood that's left, and then it will be a danger for him, he'll be at risk, and therefore one should not be in a place where the wind is circling after or during or after letting blood. Shmuel, and then now there's an incident regarding that. Havarogil, it was customary to ovad v'ovad milsa, and when he would let blood, but basically he would do it in a home, deshev levenasa, that the walls were thick with 7 levenasa bricks, which each one was 3 tvachim wide, that's 21 tvachim, v'aricha, and besides for the 7 levena bricks, there was 1 oriach brick, which was 1.5 tvachim wide, which means that the wall in which he let blood, the walls of that home, were 22.5 tvachim wide, and he did this in order that the wind should not penetrate to him. Yom Echada, one day Ovad, he let blood. Ve'irgish penafshen, he felt cold, he felt unwell. Bodak, he checked. V'chosar chad areicha, this 1 oriach of 1.5 tvachim was missing. And then the walls were only 21 tvachim wide, not 22.5 tvachim thick. And that's why the wind penetrated and made him feel unwell. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shmuel de Omer Tarvayu, they both said, Hayman de Ovid Milsa, somebody who lets blood, lit aim midi, he should taste something straight away. Vahod leifa, can only after that he should leave. Diloitoim midi, because a person who lets blood and does not taste anything before leaving, ipoga b'shichvo, if he's going to meet a corpse, yarka ape, his face will get green. Ipoga b'man dekotal nafsha, if he meets somebody who killed somebody, a murderer, miss, it will cause him to die. V'ipoga b'dover achir, if he's going to meet a swine, kosher l'dover achir, then he's going to be, he may get harmed by dover achir, which is a certain skin disease similar to tzoras, and tzoras is called dover achir. Things that are not so nice, instead of calling it by their name, referring to swine and pigs, then Chazal call it dover achir, and tzoras also is called dover achir for the same reason. Rav Shmuel to Omrit Arvayu, Hayman de Ovid Milsa, somebody who let blood, Lishhi Purta, he should wait a little bit, Vahod Leikam, and then he should get up. The Omar Mar, because it was said, Chamisha Dvorim, there are five things that if one does them, Kravim Lemisa Yosem and Achaim, they make a person feel closer to death than to life. Ve'eluhein, they are as follows. Number one, Ochal V'omad, eating and standing up immediately. Number two, Shoso V'omad, drinking and standing up immediately. Number three, Yoshan V'omad, sleeping, and then as soon as you wake up, you get up. Hekiz Dam V'omad, number four, somebody who lets blood and immediately rises. And the fifth one, Shimesh Mitosei V'omad, if he stands up immediately after he was Meshamish. Says the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Purusa de Doma, the time periods that one should let blood, Kol Tlosin Yoiman, once in 30 days. Ubeina Prokim, between the first 40 years and the next 20 years, in the between the stages of his life, which means at age 40, he should go do it less, and he should only let blood once in 2 months, not every month. Ubeina Prokim, between the stages of 60 years and beyond, that means from age 60, Yachzur V'yamayit, he should only let blood once in 3 months, not once in 2 months, and obviously not once a month. Continues the Gemara of Omer Shmuel. Purusa de Doma, the time to let blood, Chad B'Shapsa is Sunday, Arbo on Wednesday, Umay L'Shapsa, and on Friday on Erev Shabbos. Avol Sheni V'Chamishi, but on Mondays and Thursdays, Loi, it's not kedai to let blood then. Domar Mar, Mish Yesh L'Ischus Ovis, only somebody who the merit of his fathers, of his ancestors, stand in good stead for him, Yakiz Dam, only he should let blood on B'Sheni B'Chamishi, on Mondays and Thursdays. Shebeiz Din Shel Mailo V'Shel Mato, the heavenly courts, they sit and they judge people, as does the courts here on earth. On Mondays, Shovin Ke'echod, they are similar, and they both sit on Mondays and Thursdays. We know that on Mondays and Thursdays, the Beis Din sit, as the Gemara says in Ksubas, and therefore, on Mondays and Thursdays, there's more judgment in the world, and the person is judged when he's in a more precarious or vulnerable situation. Therefore, one should avoid letting blood on Mondays and Thursdays. B'tlosa B'Shabsa, on Tuesdays, also one should not let blood. Mai Tamaloi, why? Mishum Dekaimele Madim B'Zivi. And we know, and it's not, I'm not an astrologer, so I can't explain to you exactly how it works, but on Tuesdays, the muzzle of Madim, of Mars, is very dominant, especially Bezovi on the even hours of the day, and it's not worth letting blood when the muzzle of Madim is ruling. Maile Shabsa Nami Kaima Bezovi, the Gemara asks that on Fridays also Mars, that muzzle is dominant in the even hours of the day. So why on Fridays is it okay to let blood? Says the Gemara, Kivun de Doshubei Rabim, since the people, they were very lax about this, and they just trampled on this. It was common to let blood on Fridays. So the Pasuk was said, Shomer Psoim Hashem, Hashem protects the heedless and the reckless. There's nothing you can do about it. People are doing it, so it's okay. Continues the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Dalet, Wednesdays, which are okay to let blood, Dehu Dalet, but if Wednesdays is on the fourth day of the month, Dalet Du Arba Esir, if Wednesdays is on the 14th of the month. Dalet Dehu Esrim Arbo, if Wednesday falls on the 24th day of the month. Dalet Deleka Arbo Basre, or Wednesday where there isn't another 4 days after it until the end of the month. Sekanta is dangerous to let blood on such a day. Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month. Vesheni Loi, and the day afterwards. Chulsha, it causes a person weakness if he lets blood on that day. It's obviously not osa, but it's not advisable. Shlishi Loi, on the third day of the month. Sakona, it's dangerous to let blood. Mailosha Yoimatova, on Erev Yom Tov, one should not let blood. Chulsha, it causes a person to be weak. Mailo Yoimadatzarta, on Erev Shvois, Sakanta. Not only does it cause a person to be weak, it actually can be dangerous for a person. The Chachomim said, in order not to get confused between one Erev Yom Tov and Erev Shavuos, they said it's also to let blood on any Erev Yom Tov. And why on Erev Shavuos was it dangerous? Denofik beziko, because a wind comes out on that day, Ushmei Tavoyach, and the name of that wind is called Tavoyach, which means to slaughter, and it's a day that is dangerous. That wind can, people who are vulnerable and weak, it can kill such people. The Eloi Kiblu Yisrael Torah, Klal Yisrael not received the Torah on Shavuos, have a Tavach Lehu, that wind would have slaughtered Lebasrayu Uledomayu, their flesh and their blood. Continues the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Ochal Chito, if a person ate some wheat, a kernel of wheat, v'heik is dam, and afterwards he let blood. Lo hik is elo lo'oiso chito. He has no benefit from that letting blood, because the effort it took to deal with the wheat that he's just eaten, is that's what he's gaining by letting the blood. That the efforts that the body takes, you're releasing that a little bit, but you haven't had any extra gains. The Hana Milil Rafua, and that's only true if you're trying to gain some health and some cure, some therapeutic value, you will not have it if you've just eaten. If the reason you're letting blood is just to lighten a little bit the weight of the excess blood going around the system, makel, then even if you've just eaten some wheat, then letting blood will still have that effect. Continues the Gemara. Hamek is dumb. Somebody who lets blood, shasye le'alto, he should drink immediately. Achilo ad chetzi mil, and eating, he can eat until the amount of time it takes to walk half a mil. Iboilu, the Gemara asked, shasye le'alto maila, we understand that drinking immediately after letting blood is advantageous. Aval bosa hochi, kosher, but is drinking after a short while after letting blood, is that going to be bad for him? Is it going to be kosher, detrimental to him? Oy dilmo, no, loy kosher, v'loy maila. It's not going to be detrimental, but it's also not going to be beneficial. Says the Gemara, teiku, we have to let that stand. We do not know how to resolve that question. Iboyeluhu, another question they asked. Achilo, you said that regarding eating, ad chatzi mil, till how the amount of time it takes to walk half a mil, hu de maili, it's beneficial. But after eating, after the time it takes to walk half a mil, and eating sooner than the amount of time it takes to walk half a mil, koshi, is it detrimental? Or maybe, it's not detrimental, and it's not beneficial. Says the Gemara, teiku, this too, we have to let that stand. We have no way of resolving that. Continues the Gemara. Machriz Rav would proclaim as follows. Mea kori, you should buy 100 gourds, a type of vegetable, bezuza, for a single zuz, which means it's got hardly any value, and only buy it if it's very cheap. Mea reisha, and one should buy 100 heads of animals, bezuza, on condition that it only costs one zuz, also it has very little value, it's not worth investing in it. Mea sfomi, but the lips of animals, you should only take them if they don't cost anything, which means they have no value whatsoever, it's not worth investing in them. Omer Rav Yosef says, Ki avinon be Rav Huna, when we were by Rav Huna, yoima de pagra be rabonon. It was the day that the Chachomim were somewhat lazy in coming to the Beis HaMedrash. They didn't come to the Beis HaMedrash That's what Rashi says. Tosfos says that they were weak on that day, and therefore they couldn't learn properly, and therefore they didn't come. Omri, and they said on that day, Ho'idna, this day is Yoyma Deshafmihu, it's the day of the lips. V'lo yodana maika omra. And I didn't know, Rav Yosef says, I didn't know what they were referring to. But now that I heard from Rav that one should not buy the lips of animals for anything because they have no value whatsoever, no medical value, no nutritional value, whatever he was talking about, right? But it's worth nothing, so lips are not worth anything. So when they said that that day was the day of the lips, it means it was a day that wasn't worth anything. A day that Torah has not learned is a day wasted. Continues the Gemara. The Koishrin Hatabur. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chof Ches Amud Beis that one is allowed to tie the umbilical cord of a woman after birth. And Rav Yosi says, Rav Yosi added and says, Af Choitchin, one is allowed to sever, one's allowed to cut the cord. V'chol Tzorich Amila Oisim B'Shabbos, anything that one needs to do for the bris mila, one's allowed to do on Shabbos, and the details of that we're going to learn in the next Perek Emirat Hashem, but we're now going to discuss tying and cutting the cord. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbonon, Koishrin Atabur, one's allowed to tie the umbilical cord. Rabbi Yosi Omar Af Choitchin, you're also allowed to cut the umbilical cord, but in this price, so we add another detail. V'toimnim Hashilya, one's allowed to wrap up the placenta, kedei sheyecham avlad. When the placenta is warmed up, then the child, the newborn child, also gets warmed up. Omer b'Shimon ben Gamliel, Penois Melochim, the daughters of royalty, who obviously they had the financial means, Toimnois b'Sfolim shel Shemen, they would wrap up, they would submerge the placenta in oil, in bowls of oil. Benois Ashirim, the daughters not of royalty but of rich, those that were rich and they could afford it, Besfugin shel tzemer, with wads of wool. Benois Aniyim, the daughters of the poor people, Bemuchin, they would wrap up the placenta in rags. Omer of Nachman, Omer Abba Baravua, Omer Rav. Halochik Reb Yosi. The halochik is like Reb Yosi, like we just saw, that one is allowed to cut the umbilical cord and wrap up the placenta. V'omer of Nachman Omer Rabbi Baravu Omer Rav, Moedim Chachomim L'Rav Yosi. The Chachomim, who they said you're only allowed to tie the cord, they didn't say you're allowed to cut the cord, but they agreed to Rav Yosi. But Tabor Shal Shnei Tinoikos, if it's twins, one is allowed to cut the cord. Shechoitchim, we can cut the cord. My Tama, why? Demantechi Adodi, because as twins, they naturally may put each other away from each other and tear the cords away from themselves. If the cords are not tied, it could end up dislodging the cord, Chas V'Shalom, and it will be dangerous. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabbe Baravua, Omer Rav. Kol ha'omur b'parshas Teichocha. Teichocha means giving rebuke, admonishing people. And there was a parasha in Yecheskel that is Teichocha. And anything that was said in that parasha, one's allowed to do on Shabbos. In that parasha, the pasuk compares Klal Yisrael to a newborn child, as if a newborn child was neglected, and somebody came to take that child off the streets and take care of all their needs, and compares Klal Yisrael to somebody who then rejects that person that saved the child. And so to Klal Yisrael, Hashem took them when they were in Mitzrayim, in the lowest of the low. Hashem took them, redeemed them, and then afterwards we betrayed Hashem. That's the Teichocha in the parasha. So it's comparing Klal Yisrael to a newborn child. So what does it say? Kol ha'omer b'parashas Teichocha oisin l'chayo b'Shabbos. Anything that's mentioned in that pasuk, one's allowed to do to a woman after birth. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel, moylad doisayich b'yoim hoiledes oisach. Regarding your birth, on the day that you were born, loikoras shoreich, the umbilical cord was not cut. Ubamayim loiruchatzt lemishi, and you were not bathed in water in order to smooth you. This is the moshel, right? Klal Yisrael were compared to a neglected child. The homleach loy humlacht, and you were not salted. The hochtel loy chutolt, and nor were you waddled. And the Gemara says we learn from here a number of halachas. So we learn as follows: Umoil deisayich b'yoyim huledes oisach, or b'yoyim huledes means Mikan Shmiyaldim es Avlad b'Shabbos. Since we're referring to the birth on the day that the child was supposed to be born, which means that one is allowed to help a woman deliver her baby. Loikoras Shorich, your cord was not cut. Mikan Shachoitchim Atabur b'Shabbos. From here you see one's allowed to cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos. Uvamayim Loiruchatzt Lemishi, that you are not bathed in water to smooth your limbs. Mikan Shereich Tzinavlad b'Shabbos. From here you see one is allowed to wash a newborn child on Shabbos. V'homleach loy humlacht, and you are not salted. Mikan Shemolchin Avlad b'Shabbos, one's allowed to salt a child on Shabbos. It helps the skin become more firm and stable. And the last words, V'hochtel loy chutolt, Mikan Shemlafin Avlad b'Shabbos, from here you see one's allowed to waddle the child on Shabbos. That means you're allowed to smoothen out the limbs. Rashi says this is not the same as we saw in Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel about straightening out the repositioning the limbs on Shabbos. There we saw in the Gemara that it was Osa, but you're allowed to smoothen out and straighten the limbs on Shabbos. Hadron Aloch Mefanin, B'siyata Dishmaya, we finished Perek Mefanin. Emir Tashem, we're going to do Chazor of Perek Mefanim, and in the next year we're going to start the Perek Rebbe Eliezer de Mila.